Without charity, the spiritual edifice collapses. St. Paul calls charity in the gospel, in the epistle of today's Mass, the link of perfection, the bond of perfection. And this, he says, because all of the other virtues are ordered to God by charity. And without charity, the other virtues lose all of their value before God and become worthless in the order of salvation. And I'll give you an example. Suppose a husband comes home to his wife, loaded with red roses and a big box of candy, but she knows that he is seeing another woman. Those roses and that candy are worthless because there is not the essential love present of husband to wife. And so she might even throw them on the floor. Now they continue to be roses. They continue to be candy. That is to say, a virtue is still a virtue. But if it is not connected to the essential virtue of charity, those virtues become worthless. He cannot please his wife for as long as he denies her the essential love that husbands owe to wives. And all of the roses and candy in the world will not make up for that essential love. Conversely, if a husband truly loves his wife, but cannot provide roses and candy, but merely does for her good works, charitable things, decent things, she sees in those little things that he does a token of the deep and genuine love that he has for her. And so God is pleased by our little works of virtue, as long as they are done in charity. And to the extent that we do them with greater charity, so much more do we please God. Conversely, if we are in the state of mortal sin, we could, as St. Paul says, hand over our bodies to be burned. We could give all of our goods to the poor. But that is worth nothing to God, because we do not love him in the essential way. And that essential way is charity. Charity is primarily the love of God. All things have an order, a place for everything and everything in its place. Everything has an order. And the order of the creature to God is love. We must love God. We must see him as our supreme goodness and love him above all things. But how do we love God? God is not someone that we see. How do we love him? We love him by extending his kingdom, by glorifying him in prayer and adoration, and by obedience to the commandments. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is charity toward God. And this charity is a supernatural virtue which depends on God's infusion of the virtue into the soul. It also depends on our faith. It is impossible to have charity without faith, supernatural faith by which we believe what God says on the authority of God revealing. If we do not have supernatural faith, if we do not look to God as our last end, if we do not look to the beatific vision as what will give us our true happiness in faith, it is impossible to have charity. And St. Pius X said that a great error of our time, he called it a monstrous error, is that there could be a charity without faith. (Clears throat) Charity is to will someone good and to accomplish that good when we have the opportunity and the obligation to do so. God's good, as far as we are concerned, is obedience to His commandments, devotion, piety, prayer, reception of the sacraments. That's how we love God. Perfect submission to the law of God, even when it is at the expense of our own lesser goods. So it's easy to say, I love God. Oh yes, God is good. I love God. It's hard to say it, and it's hard to do it when sacrifice is demanded by God. As when Abraham, for example, was called upon to sacrifice his son Isaac, to put the knife to the throat himself, to cut the throat, and then to burn the whole body. That's love of God. Now, usually God does not require such great sacrifices from us. Sometimes He does, but usually not. But He will demand of us a sacrifice every day in the form of obedience to the commandments. Every single day, and every single day, we must let the incense rise from our souls to God in homage and adoration of Him by our unfailing and unerring obedience to His commandments, no matter what it should cost us. The secondary object of charity is our neighbor's good for God's sake. And I'll give you an example. Suppose a young man is courting a young lady, and he says, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. But at the same time is cheating her brothers in business and says, I think that your parents are horrible. She would say to him, how can you say you love me if you're doing evil to those whom I love? And if you think evil about those whom I esteem? This doesn't make sense. And the courtship would not last. Such a woman would be crazy to marry such a man. Because his words, I love you, I love you, I love you, are meaningless, empty. Because the true love would extend to those whom she loves, even if they are burdensome to him. So also, we cannot say to God, I love you, if we do not also love those whom He loves. And that is the virtue of fraternal charity. And this was the sin of the Pharisees, that they claimed to have a love of God, and indeed they did, in the sense that they accomplished all of the external works of love of God very faithfully. All the devotions and everything that was required of them, all of the external demands of the law, perfectly. But they did not love their neighbor, they despised their neighbor. And for this reason, our Lord constantly criticizes them, and in St. Matthew, just before His Passion, He calls them snakes, brood of vipers, because of this hypocrisy of saying to God that I love you and having this or maintaining this impression in front of the people that they love God and at the same time having contempt for their neighbor. And God detests hypocrisy, and He detests the idea that someone could have the reputation of loving Him without the true extension of charity. So in a certain way, it's easier to love God than it is our neighbor, in a certain way. And the demands of charity to our neighbor are actually much more extensive than the demands of charity to God. We shall be judged on charity. St. John of the Cross says that. We shall be judged on how much we loved God. You would think that the rule was we will be judged on how many mortal sins we were able to commit in this life, the way some Catholics live. You would think that that was the standard of judgment, that the person who has the most mortal sins at the end of his life will be the winner. It is how much you loved God that will be the measure, the intensity of your love of God. How hot that fire is, how bright it is. That's what wins the prize. And you must constantly keep your eyes on that goal. And many Catholics do not. They see this life as if this were the only life to which they were destined. Their faith is weak and dark. They do not see the beatific vision and the life of heaven as the life to hope for. They become attached to this life, as sad and as dreary as it is, and filled as it is with so many crosses and contradictions and problems. They become attached to this life. They become attached to this life even though, as every day passes, their bodies become more and more decrepit and corrupt. Even though they know for a certitude that no one is getting out of this life alive. Nonetheless, they live in that way. They learn from their catechisms. They hear the sermons that we are made for the next life. That eternity is eternity. But they live as though the pleasures and the delights and the things of this world were their beatitude. And Lent is here to think about those things. So if you have habits of mortal sin, if you fall into mortal sin frequently, listen to these words of Saint Ephrem. He said, "We would not buy oil when we had both time and the means to do it. We could have made provision, but did not. We had time, but made bad use of it. We had plenty of opportunities, but did not embrace them. We seek them now, but cannot find them. Our poverty confounds us, but there are no means, no hope left to us to remedy it. Nothing remains for us but to say farewell to that blessed country for which we were created and into which nothing can enter that is defiled or unadorned with virtues. We have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We are in a deplorable state, without virtues, without good works, without merits, and therefore we shall be without heaven, without God, in misery forever." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.